Let us pray. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, grant us thy peace. From the 19th chapter of St. John's Gospel, the 30th verse. When Jesus had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. As we go through life, almost every thoughtful person comes to realize that one of life's haunting sorrows is its incompleteness of unfinished tasks, of words of love never spoken until it was too late to speak them, of deeds of love we would like to do, but now cannot. Life is full of loose ends and frayed edges. We call this day, now drawing to its close, Good Friday. And what makes Good Friday good is that this day tells us that in the whole long and mournful story of humanity's incompleteness and imperfection, there is one task that was done completely, done perfectly. For St. John tells us that when Jesus had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. How do you suppose the crowd standing under the cross understood those words? What do you suppose those words meant to Jesus' enemies, to the curious bystanders, to the Roman soldiers who nailed him to the cross? More importantly, what do you suppose those words meant to the little circle of Jesus' friends who were there with him, faithful to the end? The women who had followed them, among them Mary Magdalene. What do you suppose those words meant to Jesus' sorrowing mother there at the cross with John, the beloved disciple? Well, anything we might say about this would, strictly speaking, be in the realm of speculation. Because the holy writers don't tell us exactly what was going on in the minds of those standing under the cross. But what Jesus' followers did after Jesus had breathed his last speaks volumes about what might have been going through their minds as they saw him die. For what in fact did they then do? They hid behind locked doors for fear of Jesus' enemies. And one thing is certain. None of them that came to the tomb on that first Easter morning expected the resurrection. The faithful women who did come came with the spices needed to complete the process of embalming a corpse. Taking all of this into consideration, we can only conclude that they all probably heard Jesus cry, "It is finished," as an admission of defeat. But they saw in his death the end of all their hopes. So this is how it was all to end. Their beloved friend who had taught them and cared for them, who had blessed little children, and spoken words of comfort to sorrowing hearts, who had healed the sick and raised the dead as he had his friend Lazarus not long before there, nailed to the shameful cross between two convicted felons. His nail-pierced, thorn-crowned body limp in death. It most certainly looked like defeat, but in the light of the empty tomb of Easter morning, and in the light of the risen Lord's gift 50 days later of his lordly and life-giving spirit, we see with eyes of faith that what looked like defeat was in reality victory, and that what looked like the end was in fact the beginning. For what the crowd gathered around the cross didn't see, all the holy angels and the heavenly Father saw, that this was not some justly convicted felon receiving the due reward of his deeds. This was God's only and eternal Son, who is always, even then, close to the Heavenly Father's heart, willingly taking on himself all the guilt, all the shame of all the felons, of all us wrong-headed and wrong-hearted human beings, from the dawn of human history down to the always nearer end of the ages. Here is the all-sufficient sacrifice of the spotless Lamb of God. Here the cleansing fountain flowing from his pierced side. Here the water of life which he may drink and never thirst again, and which will in the end bring us safely to that heavenly city which has no need of sun or moon to shine upon it, for the glory of God is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. And there is the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb. When Jesus had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. The cry of defeat, no, the cry of victory. The end, no, the beginning. For with the finishing of Jesus' work, our sins are forgiven, our souls cleansed, our consciences clear from every accusation. And so as another Good Friday draws to a close, we stand, as we as Christians always do, under the mercy. We daily live and can also safely die in the perfect peace of the finished redemption. Our unfinished tasks and broken lives, finished, complete, made whole by the Son of God who so loved us. What makes Good Friday good is that this is the day when, for our sake, God himself suffered for all the sin which distorts and makes ugly the good humanity he gave us. He met and suffered and defeated every dead end for us, even the dead end of death. For through his victorious death, and through his resurrection, which reveals his death as the victory it in fact is, our whole sin enmeshed, death-bound, often defeated human race has been given victory and the new beginning that never fails. The new beginning of the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, unto life everlasting. Amen.